Hi, I'm Leah LaChapelle, author of Unzipping Reality, 11 Steps to Create the World We Want, and host of Unzipping Reality, The Fourth Awakening. I am dedicated to the transforming of human consciousness on planet Earth in our lifetime. So trust, know, be, and do the process as we unzip reality. Welcome, everyone, to Unzipping Reality, The Fourth Awakening. I'm Leah LaChapelle, your host, and we are here having this conversation all about love. And if you ever hear one of my broadcasts and it seems to be missing the love, you better call me up and let me know, because that's the signature, that's the vibrational signature that we're looking for the new human archetype on planet Earth. That's where we're headed. That's our new pronouncement. We are in 5D. That's the fifth dimension of consciousness. And we're all there together. So it's a varied expression of humanness showing up on the broad spectrum. And it is being embraced as the whole, W-H-O-L-E, the whole. Now, this has not become popularized yet. And that's why these conversations are so important, that we learn how to have these interfaces without judgment and to keep our context positive. And today's message is a positive one. We're going to be talking about the archway of willingness. But before I get into the archway of willingness, I am willing to take it on to, as the host, to just give you my full-out embrace, us love us, everyone. Reality is now sufficiently unzipped. The portal is open. And the invitation is to step on through and be who and what we really are. As we do that stepping on through, there's such a sense that there's a true portal. The archway of willingness is calling to us. No one is going to push us through the archway of willingness to go on into the fifth dimension, the planetary community of self-responsibility, self-determination, self-governance. You cannot be pushed into it. You cannot be pulled kicking and screaming. It must be voluntary. This is how the new humanity works. People get to choose and choose powerfully. Well, what have we been doing? Haven't we always had free choice? Well, yes, we have to a certain degree. However, there's been a lot of mind-numbing going on, and it's been difficult for us to remember how powerful we are. And that's why I wanted to kind of bridge a couple of programs here. I did a broadcast recently about the archons, and we described lots of different words in our English language that incorporate arch or arc. And come to find out, there is a real blurring here on this planet, here in left-right thinking, here in duality, because the archons need to be arced off. The archons are now going arc off as far as the unzipping of our reality is concerned. There are a lot of words containing arch, and I'm not going to revisit those. But when I was looking at quite the extensive list of the words in the English language that contain arch, and realizing, gosh, there's a lot of mixture here and there's a lot of negativity, I want to arc over into the positive, the pure positive, and talk about an archway of willingness. The archway of willingness. So we all know what an arch is, right? In architecture, there's another arc. An arch is, you know, a curved, symmetrical structure, and it spans an opening. And apparently, if you have a home that is architecturally pleasing, you might have one of these very classy, elegant arches in your home, and apparently it adds a lot of value. The word archway, I have discovered, when you do a Google search on archway, there is a plethora of businesses called archway. An archway is very, very powerful because it's highly intentional. What do you want your archway to be? How do you choose to be on this side of the archway? And what happens to you when you move through the archway? And who do you choose to be on that other side? This is how I open Unzipping Reality, The Fourth Awakening, is the invitation. Hey, let's go through the portal. It's unzipped. So this archway is for us to move through as positive as we can, as positively as we can. There are other kinds of archways, I'm sure, that will come to your mind. There are exterior archways as used in gardening. These are very, very beautiful. It makes you feel like you're in a lovely space. You can see these kind of whimsical gardens that have these vine-laced arches and trellises. They're beautiful. And then, of course, there are wedding arches or arbors. And, you know, if you have an outdoor wedding, these wedding arches can be decorated as elaborately as you want to. I mean, there are some stunning depictions of wedding arches on the internet. They're just glorious. And that's really what they're designed to be. Oops, am I giving away the the secret here? The glory of it? Apparently, if you get married with one of these wedding arches as your backdrop, it is an upgrade to your ceremony. So there's a true presence of this glorious vibration when you incorporate an archway into your experience. Now, you might be thinking, archway, what's another one? How about in St. Louis? There's a St. Louis Gateway Arch. It's huge. Now, I've not been there myself, but just looking at it online, it's there on the banks of the Mississippi River. It's in St. Louis, Missouri. And apparently, it's the tallest arch in the world. It's 630 feet tall, and it's just this giant stainless steel arch. And they call it the Gateway to the West. So these things are iconic. It stirs you to realize there's something happening here in this space. It's a portal opening. It's a come on through kind of a feeling. There's this flow that accompanies an archway. Here in Austin, Texas, where I live, there is a wonderful church called Unity Church of the Hills. I'm very, very familiar with it. And they have this marvelous arch as you enter the property. And they have quite a nice campus there. There's just this very beautiful white arch, and you drive under it as you move into the property. I love that arch. It's very inspiring to look at it because you get to make up whatever you want to about it. You get to kind of make the arch yours. No, there's, you know, nobody's writing stuff on it. You know, it doesn't have a bunch of symbology on it or anything like that. It's just, wow, what a friendly place to be. What an inviting place to be. And I'll just say this as a side note. Years after that arch was erected, they got the, you know, the fresh idea, like churches do and businesses and so forth, to put one of those electronic signs up. Well, I'm just going to go on record as saying the electronic sign does not hold a candle to the quiet subtlety of that arch. So the archway of willingness. This is really, really fun to entertain. The archway of willingness is a portal to the new paradigm. Do you remember, of course you do, way back when, December 21st, 2012, supposedly there was going to be this portal that was going to open up to humanity as the next paradigm? And everybody was like poised, waiting for something to happen, the other shoe to drop, something, some minor explosion, something. And everybody was waiting. Now, what happened was not a lot that could be detected. You remember this. There was a lot of buildup, but, you know, there wasn't any big, like, hinge sound or metal detectors going off, or there weren't any crowds pushing, pulling, there weren't alarms, there were no buzzers, there were no lights, alarms, you know, oscillating, nothing like that. But something happened. I assert that there was a portal that opened for those who were willing to pass through it. It opened subtly, silently, and invisibly. And maybe nothing happened. Can't prove that anything actually happened. But I know enough about human potential to know that if people envisioned through their own willing hearts, and that's the key, the willingness, that portal did open and it's still open. So how do we go through it? Is there some sort of protocol? How do we get to this next reality in the collective? Well, to be in heart accord with our natural design to evolve. And it's accomplished from within. And we go from duality into unity. Are you willing to do that and be that? And to ascribe to that. And then there's another one. How about acknowledging that, hey, you know what? We're all virgins in this. We don't really have any point of reference. We don't really know. But, hey, I'm game. I'm willing. Let's do it. It sounds like a great idea to me. It sure beats total annihilation or something like that. And then the third one is to be willing on every level to go through the portal. Now, this is going to humble us as an imperfect being. Go through it imperfectly, and when you acknowledge humbly and innocently your own imperfections as being perfect, you will have passed through the archway of willingness perfectly. So are we willing? Well, let's talk a little bit more about what the archway of willingness, this portal, what, let's talk about what it looks like. All of us have seen the overlapping circles, the overlapping of two circles. When you overlap two circles, you get this intersecting space, and that is referred to as the vesica Pisces. You will see this kind of leaf shape, if you will, in the flower of life, geometric design. And if you don't really know what that looks like, just Google image flower of life, and you'll see about 100 of them. This flower of life, this portal, if you will, resembles a birth opening. For me, it does. It's quite vaginal. It's a birth opening. Now, all of this is in the unseen realm, okay? So don't let your imagination run wild there. It's all in the unseen. This is in the vibrational realm. This kind of portal comes into reality by way of as above, so below. Here we are, here below, and we are the generators of our own portal. Our own private vesica Pisces can just open up for us anytime, anytime we remember it, because it really does take a willing heart to open this. This is the divine realm. I love talking about the divine realm. Makes me feel like I might be divine. I know my audience is divine. So it's a party, right? Most everyone acknowledges that there is some sort of etheric, heavenly archway above. And it's always been there. It always will be there. And it's always ever ready, divinely there for us by design. Now, here we are in the physical material realm, down here on planet Earth in these 3D bodies. And what we get to do is we get to generate the complement to that heavenly archway. We get to mirror it. We get to complete it. It's kind of like, you know, those glorious, glorious pictures that you've seen, like the Taj Mahal, for instance. And there's a body of water in front of the Taj Mahal, and the body of water is completely still, and there is the reflection of the Taj Mahal reflecting in its perfection, as above, so below. That's what we're talking about. And just because this is likened to a birth canal, a birthing passageway. Listen, this isn't just for females. Let me be very clear. Females and males alike can energize and form our birthing passageway And this is how we do it. It leads into the fifth dimension of consciousness. Again, this opening will not necessarily be seen with our eyes, but it's known from deep within our essential selves. You can argue and argue. I don't see it, Leah. Don't see it. Show me some proof. Show me some evidence. As above, so below. Well, I don't really know what's above. Well, then there you have it. Know what is above and know thyself as that. If you did not create for yourself anything on December 1st, 2012, you can still do it. You can still experience it through yourself. It doesn't have to be on a full moon or an equinox or a blood moon, blue moon, super moon. It does not have to be on any sort of calendar schedule or any sort of astrological occurrence. It just takes a willingness. This is the archway of willingness. It's super, super easy if you choose it to be. It's all about manifesting this experience for yourself and just getting in tune, getting in touch with your own willingness to do it. Is there any fear about it? I mean, are you afraid that you're going to lose something of yourself? You're going to forget maybe and leave something of yourself, behind, and you pass through and it's like, oh no, I forgot. It doesn't work like that at all. We're pretty much, truth be known, we're kind of passing back and forth beneath this archway of willingness. We're kind of all over the place at the moment because we're doing this in conjunction with planetary consciousness. So we're garnering more vibrational, upper dimensional frequencies to be able to do this so that it really, really sticks. In the old paradigm, I know you've heard it takes 21 days to establish a new habit. In the new paradigm, it's possible to divinely attune one's self to the fifth dimension, basically the same day, just by aligning with a new vibrational willingness. Just be willing. It's like, wow, I did it one time. And then it's like, I got really sloppy and lazy and kind of mean or something. What happened? Nothing happened. It still counts that you applied your vibrational willingness and passed through that archway of willingness one time. It still counts. It's still there. It's still holding true for you. It's the consistency that we're looking for. And that's why we need our brothers and sisters with willing hearts. We can focus and we can choose fifth dimensional expression and experience for ourselves by simply giving up the habit of living primarily in a third dimensional mental body. It's a habit. We've been doing it for so long, so many generations and so many lifetimes at this point, that it's kind of become a habit. You know, we've really mastered some of this really negative, overarching energy. We've mastered it. And now we are kicking that habit and we're making a new baseline for reality as a fifth dimensional etheric body. Yes, we are. We're already doing this to some degree, or we wouldn't be having this conversation. You for sure would not be listening this deep into this message. So why not just make it official? Yeah, yeah. I have a new baseline for my reality. It's the fifth dimension. It's etheric. I'm showing up as that body. Now, when you forget and you habituate the third dimension with all its complaints and dramas, oh my goodness, the dramas, and the separateness, just acknowledge it. Just say, oh, yeah, I'm complicit with all of that. Yeah, I am that. And then just regroup. It's okay. Just realize that we are all quite naturally still finding our balance as awakened multidimensional beings. I was doing a show the other day, a wonderful, wonderful show with my friend Nick Reed. And it was a great interview. And he was asking me, well, Leah, what can you tell us about how we wake up in the morning? What can we do to actualize our 5D selves? And I said, well, you know, I would say it's how you go to sleep at night. That's where the action is. What do you think about when you lay your head on the pillow? You can validate yourself as a fifth dimensional being at night before you go to sleep. And enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself as the I am that you are. I am that I am. I am that I am. And be in gratitude. And you can just kind of run through, you can take a minute to review the people in your life that are in your personal storyline, in your fifth dimensional story, your 5D companions. Be in gratitude for them. Be in gratitude for everyone. Your friends, your family, your acquaintances, the spokespeople, you know, the teachers that have taught you so well, people you don't even know. A lot of times we don't know these people out here on the internet. We'd like to. I'm extremely accessible if you ever want to have a conversation with me. Just go on my website, fearorlove.com. Send me an email, leah@fearorlove.com. I'd be happy to speak with you. But we don't really know a lot of these voices and personas out on the internet. But we can be grateful for them, can't we? Yeah. And those who have already passed over. There's some great teachers of mine who have already passed over, and I'm very grateful for them consistently. And you know what? Go ahead and include your so-called villains in your story. Be grateful for them too. Well, why? Because they provide the valuable contrast. Your 3D story would be rather dull without, you know, some villains in there to make it interesting. But seriously, if you would like to surround yourself with more friends and community in your life that operate on a fifth dimensional frequency, I'm an awakening coach. I can partner with you to help you attract them. And you'll find out that the charge is very doable. So it's what I love doing. I make it accessible. All you need to do is be willing. The archway of willingness is a bridge. It is a portal. Now, when I was presenting my message on that more archonic counterfeit as found in our language and how it is very mesmerizing and very mind-controlling and very covert in many cases, I realized I left a couple of things out. And they're big. So I want to go back and scoop those up. because I did not mention them in my very long list of arches. And one of them is the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, that little item, you know, the thing that has been such a conundrum throughout the ages, and now nobody seems to know where the Ark of the Covenant is. It was like the greatest, most powerful object, presence. It was in the tabernacle of Moses, the tabernacle of David. I mean, it was a big, big deal, this Ark of the covenant with, quote, God. And I refer to the Ark of the Covenant quite explicitly in my novel, Soul Shade. And the full name, Soul Shade, Revealing the New Human Archetype. And let's see what it says in the glossary about the Ark of the Covenant. I'm reading from Soul Shade, the glossary. It says this: the Ark of the Covenant is among the most sought after of religious antiquities. It is the famed Ark of the Covenant. This legendary artifact is the ornate gilded case built some 3,500 years ago by the Israelites to house the stone tablets on which the Ten Commandments were written. So that's kind of the cover story for the Ark of the Covenant. But in my fictional novel, I uncover new realms of possibility of what the Ark of the Covenant might be. Another ark that I would like to mention that I did not go into in my book is Noah's Ark. What can we say about Noah's Ark? Well, there's something to this ark business. Yeah, there's a lot to this ark thing. And remember, we're turning the archons into ark-offs. We're turning that juice off, all right? Because that's the counterfeit. The real is coming through. Now, there are lots and lots of stories about Noah's Ark. And I'm not going to go over all of those now. But just suffice it to say that there is this thing called a rainbow nestled in this story. It's how the story ends. There's a rainbow that forms in the sky. And that, my friends, is another ark. Very positive and probe into it. Just stay open. When we pass willingly through this archway, the archway of willingness, we'll be able to have a great sense of relief as we turn and we look back, if we choose to, as we're on the other side. It will give us perspective that we haven't had before. And that's where we will learn a lot more about things like the Old Testament and Noah's Ark and what the rainbow is and what it signifies. So much written about free will. Free will. What is it? What is this idea about willingly? Let's willingly pass through, not willfully. If you're willful, that means in a pig's eye with clenched fists, I won't, I'll never. You can't make me. That's willful. But to pass through willingly, that's what we're talking about today. Do you feel the emollience? Do you feel the smoothness, the ease? So much grace to just move through and not fight it. You know, these there are just so many quotes about resistance, but, you know, the baseline quote is what you resist persists. That's what happens on this side, that side of the archway of willingness. That's what happens before you pass through it. Let me just say it that way. Before you pass through, just pass on through, and things get easier and easier. Not less challenging, but they get easier because you're easier on yourself. There's more self-love. There's more self-care. There's more kindness for yourself and for others, and that comes back to you. Again, I'm picking up my copy of Soul Shade in the glossary because I want to see what it says about free will. I think there's something, yep, there it is in the glossary. Free will is self-determination. It's dependent on one's right to question, because without questioning, hierarchical control is maintained. Yeah. Questioning authority has been a no-no for a long, long time, right? Yeah. Don't question authority. Don't talk back. You know, all of those things. Behave. Be polite. And don't embarrass us. Don't act out. Because that is that hierarchy of control. There's a really good quote by a woman that I have a lot of regard for, Patricia Cota Robles. I can barely say it, Cota Robles. And she talks about the realms of cause. And she says this: our tangible manifestation of the new earth has already been accomplished. I'm going to read that again. Our tangible manifestation of the new earth has already been accomplished. Yeah. It's basically it's accomplished because we are the causal body of God. You know that it's there, and you know that it's here. You know that we are at the cause. We are the causal body of God in the realms of cause. That's why free will is so important. You know, in preparing for this message, there's something that's calling to me. And it's in the Bible, and I'm wondering, can I remember where it is in the Bible? Because sometimes I get a little rusty. I don't read the Bible like I once did in my life, but it's all in there, and there's a lot of good stuff in there. Some of it is being questioned because we have free will, remember? So it's okay. It's okay to question. It's not okay to be judgmental and cruel. That's not okay. But it's okay to question. But anyway, the passage I was remembering, and I remembered it. It's like, yeah, I remember. It's Isaiah 14. And I turned to it, and there it is. Isaiah 14 is talking about the will. And it's quite fascinating. It's a description of Lucifer. As Lucifer had fallen or got, you know, voted to be the one to come and take up the role of Satan. I'm not real sure how I want to describe all that, but suffice it to say, a bright morning star, in fact, it's described, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. That was what fell here to earth that became Satan. You have said in your heart, and then here's what follows, five I wills, All right. This is the beingness that coagulated into what we know as Satan, that rules over us very harshly now and deceives us. And so this idea of free will, we are in a free will universe. And this is what this series of I wills says. It says, I will ascend to heaven. It's like I, without anybody else's help, I will. See, it's very separate. The separate I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Whoa. You think maybe there's a little ego in that? Just a little bit? I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north. Now see here again, that's separation. That's polarity, everybody. That's polarity. The poles, the north and south. Oh, I'm in the uttermost. I'm the highest point. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. That's the clouds of all of the witnesses. Everyone will see me, in other words. I will. And then, okay, let's just say the last one. The last I will is, I will make myself like the Most High. It's quite convoluted when you look at the context, because the context is self-aggrandizement, self-promotion, ego. We are learning so much who and what we are and who and what we are not. And it's okay to hang out with the God that you are, the I am. The I am. It's like being a droplet in the ocean of limitless love. Maybe we're not ready to say that we're the ocean, but we are that droplet. The ocean is in the droplet. The ocean is all of the droplets. And I'm a droplet. It's quite exquisite. Quite exquisite to go on this journey, and I'm so grateful for anyone in this conversation with me. It's an honor to have these conversations. Back to the archway of willingness here in this free will universe. When you step through the archway of willingness, you will be developing healthy new habits, and they will anchor you in the new realm. One very important new habit to develop as a fifth dimensional being is to give up being appalled at how horrible everything is. This is not easy because we are so triggered these days. We're triggered by the tragedies and the traumas in the third dimensions because they are horrifying and they're disgusting and shocking and painful and grievous. But you know what? It can even become an addiction, a habit, to keep observing the despair in our world and to be so affected by it that you end up actually intensifying the signal strength of that despair. And you literally serve as a despair transmitter. Stop it, Facebook. Yeah, people are complaining about hideous. The face of Facebook is, well, welcome to the new realm. Face it, Facebookers. We are that. We are all of that. But here we go with our conditioning. We keep reacting, recoiling. We're so shocked because of the cruelty. And I myself am. I mean, I'm still shocked. I get like barbs and I can't stand the slashing and goring going on. It's very emotional. It's very physical. This torture. It's dehumanizing. Well, you know what? I'm not here to be dehumanized, and I'm not going to prop that stuff up. There's so much fear. It's like, remember in the James Bond movies where they're in like some sort of a hopeless situation where they're in this room with alligators or something, I don't know, and then the walls start closing in on them and they've got spikes in the wall, it's just terrible, and it's like they're going to totally be impaled or something like that. Well, that's kind of like our 3D reality. It's very, very spiky, and all we want to do is invalidate it. Now, back to James Bond. James Bond always got out of those situations, right? He always had something that would come to his defense, and he was brilliant, and so they always got out of it. But, we're here to liberate ourselves from that kind of compression, the walls closing in on us. We're here not to be impaled, on all that. We're here to liberate. And so rather than to be appalled or just strangled by fear and triggered all the time, and we know, I can sit here and tell you, but until you start being willing to make a shift, I can tell you all day long, but until you're willing to try it, the thrill will just keep being a prison. I'm inviting us to evolve and outgrow and just dematerialize the walls of the box, spikes and all. And the way we can do that, I'm not saying pretend it's not there. I'm not saying that. It is there. But what I'm saying is stop being appalled that it's there. Stop being appalled by how appalling the third dimension is, and get to the business of manifesting the new reality. This is not being hard-hearted. This is the new compassion. Be so compassionate that you refuse to go down to the miry depths and die a pathetic death in the third dimension. No, we're here to move through the archway of willingness, but we've got to be willing and to see with new eyes. So we can hold a current of joy. Joy. While the last vestiges of 3D separation consciousness of all the misery and drama just disintegrate under its own weight. Withhold your consent. Rather than to be emotionally and energetically jerked around by all the horror and, you know what it is? It's untransformed reality. That's all it is. It's untransformed. You are transformed. Show up inside of an untransformed reality as a transformed new human. This is what will catapult us to a higher plane, that higher plane of consciousness. This is where we birth our new humanity. We're learning how to break out of our old victimizer, victim, codependency vibration, and we're remembering how to be free. We're exercising our free will to be free. Instead of just resisting the old, that's not free. That's just more resistance. And you know what? The old paradigm does not need fixing. I know that's a great surprise to many of us. It's perfect the way it is. Because in the third dimension, it's designed to house both agony and ecstasy, the beautiful and the profane, the us versus them. It's called duality. That's what thrives in the old paradigm. The willingness that I'm talking about here today has to do with shifting out of our experience of victim into willingness. willingness to take a risk. Take the risk of personal responsibility and also allowing group responsibility. Ooh, that's big. Personal and group responsibility to lead us into galactic citizenship. Are you willing? Are you willing to be a galactic citizen? This is huge. We need to be willing to become the most that we can be. And the way we do that is by desiring it. It's not by beating ourselves up and saying, oh, I'm not enough. I need to be more. No, no. Just say, I am willing to be willing. That's it. That's the archway of willingness. There's no have to. Now, I will say that if you want to hang on to your old attitudes and you want to remain a victim, you know what a victim is. That's saying, hey, somebody else be responsible for me and save me from myself. You get that? Don't save me from them over there, the ones doing mean things to us all. No, save me from myself, my small-minded, mean-spirited, judgmental self. Nobody can save you from that but you, as you are willing. And please, don't think that I've arrived in this. I need all of us to flow through this archway of willingness together. That's how I get to shift, is when you shift, and he shifts, and they shift, and we all shift together, because we're all co-creatingly, raising the vibration for the planet, for our species. So there is free will to do this. You don't have to. And there is intended destiny. Now, if you set some real powerful intentions and start breathing into your destiny, like, why am I here? Things will start shifting for you. If you stay in that question and if you are willing to know the answer, this is why people call me for coaching. Leah, I want to know my purpose. This is the kind of conversation that is very, very liberating and very, very loving. No one's doing it wrong. We're all doing it right. Trust me, we're all doing it right. But we're going to need to give up what we have been in the past and merge with the flow of being whole and not separate. Can we surrender willingly? Can we surrender willingly to have greater resources than we've ever known just on our own? These are some questions that I would love for you to entertain. There's a quote that I came across through the Law of Attraction networks, and I use it quite frequently, and I use it in my coaching, and I use it for myself. It says this: the first step to getting anywhere is deciding you're not willing to stay where you are. Now, if you want to stay where you are, you go right ahead. But my encouragement to all of us is that we proactively pass through the archway of willingness. Don't wait. All it takes is a willing open heart. You get to assemble your own portal right now, as above, so below. Imagine it, feel it, broadcast it as your professed reality, and pass through this birth canal as a blameless newborn, full of beauty and worth. Welcome to the new paradigm. That's it for today's program, everyone, The Archway of Willingness. I'm Leah LaChapelle. Please go to fearorlove.com. My book, Soul Shade, is available at Fear or Love, also on Amazon. I want to say thank you to Metaphysical Talk Radio. Y'all are great. I love you. And oneness happens. It's the great letting go and letting in, with allowance and balance. So trust the process, know the process, be the process, and do the process as we unzip reality. Bye-bye, everyone.